Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Heel Bros. I'm Ronnie Karam. That's Ben over there. Hi, honey.
Hey.
How are you?
You know, it's Monday. I'm ready to dive into another week of life. How are you?
Yeah, I saw Kyle Richards' post where she's like, look at me and Denise Richards in the same dress. Oh, ha, ha. I was like, wow, that's still all you guys have. So it's not looking great for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this next season. I'm like, wow, you're even reusing the most lamest, or the most lamest. Wow, guys, you're reusing the lamest shit that's ever happened on that show. I'm already scared for your season. Ooh.
Oh, but, you know, Kyle Richards has been opening up about her nose job. It's funny, you know, like, the only reason why that matters is because in season one, she made fun of women who get plastic surgery, and, you know, we are holding her accountable for it 10 years later. So, there's that to look forward to also. Yeah.
And she is the old deviated septum line. I was like, what is it, like, you're, what are you, in high school? That's what all the girls in high school would say.
Yeah. Deviated and Jax.
Yeah. This weekend I was saying, oh, I can't wait to save up money and get a boob job. And so I had to talk to my niece about what boob jobs meant. So that was fun. Okay, everybody, dear. Welcome to the show. Still don't have a boob job. Today we're doing Real Housewives of Potomac, but on Thursday night, we're doing a live show, Crappens Live. We still can't go out into the world, obviously, so we are doing it online. We're doing it on a site called On Location Live. So it will be On Location Live / Watch What Crappens, okay? And you can also get tickets over at our website, watchwhatcrappens.com. And if you are a Crappens On Demand Patreon subscriber, you get $5 off, and that's the Crappens On Demand level, which is where you get the videos and all that, which we do a couple times a week. Okay, so yeah, go check that out, and we'll see you guys Thursday. We hear that Salt Lake City is fantastic; everyone's loving it.
That's the early buzz. Early buzz is that it's great, so we're really excited to cover this, and we have a special guest too for the first 10 or 15 minutes of the show. So it's gonna be a bonanza. Mm-hmm.
Michelle Obama.
Ooh. Michelle Obama is coming on. Guys, okay, cat's out of the bag. Michelle Obama is coming on to ours. And Julia Roberts.
Yes.
Two guests, by the way.
And E.T.
And Reese Witherspoon.
E.T. as well.
Yeah, and E.T.
Yeah. So E.T. tell your friends.
On. Yep. E.T., both the alien and the and a camera crew from E.T.
Mary Hart's old camera person from E.T. So there you go.
John Tesh actually has given us the rights to the NBA theme song without having to pay anything. So we're going to open up with that song. We're going to play it a few times. Were you with me? Oh, no, you weren't with me. One time I went to a party in Hollywood. And it was like for OK Magazine, and John Tesh was like the house band. And then at one point he goes, I think you guys will all remember this one. And then he played the NBA theme song. At a party.
There's John Tesh, that rascally party animal. All right, well, let's get into...
Oh, sorry, go on. I'll stop.
No, it's okay. You're like a dad who just loves his John Tesh story. It's like Christmas.
You know,
it's like every Christmas. Here
I
comes dad with his John Tesh playing the NBA theme song story.
I don't get to bust it out a lot because I forgot about it. But it's a funny thing. Like, could you imagine you're at a swanky party at the rooftop of the W Hotel and the band is like, I seem to remember, maybe you guys remember this one. And it's like the interstitial music to, like a sports show.
You did it, John Tesh.
And on another episode, I'll tell the story about the time I was an extra for the Monday Night Football Hank Williams Jr. music video, which is a true story too.
Wow. What, yeah, a week.
A lot of links.
Welcome to the week ahead, listeners.
Potomac.
But today, Potomac. So we open up with Ashley working out by lifting her baby, and she's like, we're finished with our workout, and he farts on her.
Yeah.
And that's basically how the workout ends.
This is what I call high interval training. Wham, wham. Got a pee-pee.
That's pretty much how I work out as well. Nice little fuss at the end. And then that's how you know it's done.
I do Ronnie it, is I off do it the all throughout. And then we see Giselle calling Jamal on the phone and gets the voicemail, of course. Because, you know, Arizona's doesn't take care of itself, okay? He is a busy man.
Right? Yeah, and, you know, it's really rude how that voicemail lady does it, because I guess I've never noticed until it was Giselle, and I was like, ooh, burn! But I guess the voicemail lady always says, this call has been forwarded to voicemail. But it sounds like he just pressed the decline button, and I think that that's a really rude way to put it. How about someone couldn't answer, so here's voicemail, or... You know, Jamal's probably sleeping with somebody else, so here's voicemail. Not just like, this call has been forwarded to voicemail, because it sounds like you're accusing somebody of something.
What happened to the days when we just did our own voicemail messages? When we said, hey, I'm not here right now, so please leave a number. I mean, can we still do that, or is that just like...
I still record mine. Don't you have mine?
I mean, I can't remember the last time I called you on the phone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like most...
I do put my voice on everybody else's voicemail, though. I'm like, hi, it's Ronnie. Ben's not here right now. Leave him a message. Stupid.
Maybe it's just one of those things. It's like the Ring doorbell or the generic Apple ringtone, where sometimes you just are too lazy to do it. Like, I actually don't think I've done my voicemail.
Huh. I think it's passive-aggressive to not do it. Because then you're making everybody sit through that fucking voicemail lady who takes forever. She's like, your call has been forwarded to the voicemail box
to an automatic
of
voicemail.
323.
Oh, yeah,
five,
I don't like that.
5-5-5-4-5-3. Leave your message.
It's annoying.
I'm like, what? Are you getting paid by the
and
second
And then you're ready
woman?
To leave your message, and then you're ready to leave your message, and then she's like, when you were done leaving your message, hang up. Or press 1 for more options. Like, does anyone ever press 1 for more options? Does anyone say, well, that was a good voicemail. Now let's see how we can take it to the next level.
You can
re-record
it. Yeah, I've re-recorded it. Like, when it's a difficult voicemail, and then it's like, oh, I didn't like that one. I'm going to do another draft. You can sit there for like half an hour breaking up with somebody over voicemail.
Oh, for me, it's a one-shot thing. If I don't get it right, I'm hanging up. I'm just like, that's it. Because I always forget the number that you have to press.
No.
I'm like, is it pound? Is it whatever?
No, it can get ugly. Like, I've gone from like, I'm really sorry, I've really enjoyed our time together, to, I got the wrong Amazon package today. Oh, yeah, I'm breaking up with you. Have I said that yet? Click. Because you just get sick of saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Okay. The point is, we're watching Real Housewives of Potomac, right, guys? So Wendy is talking with Robin on the phone, and she's making all these meals for her children while they're away on this vacation in Portugal. And then they start gossiping about Candace, because Monique is countersuing Candace. And everybody is just shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
Yeah, absolutely shocked. And Robin's like, who does Monique think she is that to have a second degree assault from Candace? Like, what? And then we go over to Candace, who's on the phone with her gay Cliff, who really is there just to say yes to whatever she says. She's like, Cliff, I'm trying to decide if I want to buy new luggage. I mean, I've just been through so much. I don't know. Should I get new luggage? And he's like, if buying luggage will make you feel better, then do it.
Yeah. He's a yes gay. And she's already wearing a new hat with a price tag hanging off and dangling around a new purse with a price tag hanging off. I'm like, wow, what are you complaining about? This is like the best thing that ever happened to you. You know, you get in a physical altercation in a barn and suddenly you're pretty woman. Like, where are you getting all this money?
Yeah, exactly. And that new purse, by the way, looked like a giant Christmas ornament. I actually thought it was an ornament. I was like, oh, okay, I guess she's getting ready for Christmas. And then I realized it was actually some sort of bag because she was posing with it. So either she poses with Christmas ornaments or she has bags that look like Christmas ornaments. But either way.
It was a little mesh bag where you see through it, you know, like a little chain bag. So you can see everything that's inside there.
It looked like there should have been a go-go dancer inside of it.
Yeah, and also, what is this little Cliff, like, yes gay? I'm not a yes gay, are you? Like, if my girlfriends call me, I say no to everything. Like, should I buy new luggage? No, you don't need fucking new luggage. What are you, crazy? You need to save that money.
I used to be a yes gay. And then I realized, like, it was too exhausting, and I kind of cut out all the girls in my life that, like, made me be like that. Not that they made me be like that, but, like, I had that role with them, I should say, where I was just like, yes, and I just really didn't have any identity beyond just, like,
saying yes.
Being there so that I could, like, say yes and listen to them talk about their dysfunctional relationship with the guy and, you know, like, just, like, give them constant feedback about their, you know, like, do I look fat today? You know, all this stuff, which was then.
Well, then
I
become
a no
yes gay.
Gay.
Then I become a yes gay. I'm like, yes.
I mean, listen, I'm always there to support people. I'm always there to support my friends. But you know, there are certain friends that just really are only there to take and take and take and not give back. And I decided I don't want that anymore.
Well, I'm a no gay. I just say I'm still that kind of gay where, you know, I still listen to relationships and stuff. But I'm definitely a no gay now. You know, I'm like, should I date that guy? No. Should I quit my job? No. I say no to everything because I feel like that's being a better friend. Really, no matter what the question
you
is.
You are.
You know?
You really are. You're a better friend. I believe it.
So then, let's see here. Cliff is just like, do whatever. Spend as much of your mother's money as you can get your hands on. And Candace is basically like, I will not let this trauma consume me. So I am going to consume. Look at all the shit I bought, girl.
Yeah, seriously. So then we go over to Monique, who's at Silver, a new American brasserie. And she's there, and she dressed up. She color coordinated with all the booths. And guess what? So did Karen, because Karen joins. And they're all just wearing, like, poinsettia red. It's just that red.
Yeah, and the booths so are like all a bunch red, of too. It's the same color as their shirts. So you just see their little heads poking out to talk.
Yeah, just like floating heads. It's a scene of floating heads.
Also, I'm glad you named the restaurant, because I wrote down Sliver. And I was like, wow, that's a creepy restaurant. Just little video cameras. You don't know we're there. Some Baldwin and jerking off to that... you in the kitchen.
And the only music that plays is UB40 or Enigma. Oh, dis-moi. Do-do-do-do. Remember that song? So then, so Karen's like, Money, it's so good to see you. How are you?
And she's like, well, I'm eating now, so that makes me better. I want to be that kind of stressed person where I just don't eat. Unfortunately, I put mustard on all of my feelings and just make a day of it. So Monique's like, well, Karen wasn't there to defend herself when Ashley told me what she told me at the live podcast, the $200,000 podcast. And, you know, last time I checked, we were good. So what's up? So they order.
This was funny to me because Monique ordered a spinach feta omelet and then Karen got tuna tartare. And it's like a funny pairing at a table to me. Like, I was trying to figure out what meal it was, and I was also trying to figure out the menu that it offered these things.
It's an odd smelling table, right? Because you've got feta and tuna. So it's an odd smelling table. So Karen just purses her lips a lot for a minute. She's like,
and a big stare down.
She just starts rubbing her hands together like she's putting on invisible moisturizer. And she's like, well, this has been a week for me. Ashley invited us all to Portugal. And then she looks at Monique like she's going to start crying. But she does it. She's like,
yeah.
No one cries when they've got a feta omelet on the way, okay? Try harder.
Monique is like, yeah, I'm just going to focus on my family and that giant omelet that's on the way. And he goes, well, you will be missed. You will be missed. Much like this tuna tartare that I'm going to down in 3 seconds. This tartare will be missed when I'm done with it.
So Monique basically tells her, you know, Ashley came to the podcast because, you know, she was part of it. And Karen's like, oh, hand clasp. Hand rub, hand clasp. I'm sorry I couldn't make it to the podcast.
Yeah, Monique says, yeah, well, the podcast was like therapy for me. I'm like, is this like jazz therapy? I mean, it's just like you on a panel of people avoiding questions about the biggest drama in your life while a jazz band is there. And
shit, if that was therapy, I'd go. Hand me a microphone and a live band and I have to take no responsibility for anything. I'm in.
I know. I just love how quick the people on this cast are to sort of claim that they've been healed and like work through their issues. So so Monique's like, yeah, so Ashley said that you pushed Candace to follow, you know, to go get legal action, right? And Karen's like, well, listen, somebody would be in jail if they beat me up because I can't fight. I'd just be like, ahem, ahem, security, security, security.
And she's like, but, you know, so Karen basically just admitted it. right? Basically just confessed in a fun way. And so Monique's like, well, I know she's wrong because you just wouldn't be the person to egg somebody out like that. Like, she just admitted it. I mean, I know that you have to keep a friend on the show, so I don't blame you, but she just admitted it, lady. So Karen's like, well, listen, I have been nothing but a stellar supporter to everybody. Really, stellar supporter. And my friendship with Candace has been damaged because I wouldn't choose sides.
Yeah. I like that she's so, like, she's just so honest with her own applause.
Well, yeah,
she's just
she like,
I have been
herself.
Stellar.
Yeah.
Yeah, she gave herself a 5-star review for her work.
This friendship from this establishment has been stellar.
Yeah. So Monique's like, well, listen, I don't want you to feel as if, like, you remaining friends with her is going to be disloyal to either one of us. Yes, I am going to play that card where I'm going to be the good cop and she'll be the bad cop, okay? So, yeah, be friends with her. I totally won't mind at all on camera at all.
Well,
not at all.
Candace and I will be fine. We're not broken. We're scratched.
Okay. And Monique's like, well, that's how I started with her, so be careful.
Yeah, and then Karen just tilts her head at her. Yeah, that's how I started it with her. It was a scratch, and now we're broken. Follow the pattern. So golfing, kayaking, come to Potomac.
Yeah, home for all your leisure activities. And there's Michael playing with baby Dane. I'm not sure, Mike. I think this may be the first time Michael's actually ever met baby Dean. I don't know. There seemed to be something really unnatural. He's like, hey, baby Dane. How about this toy? You can suck on this one. You can suck on it and play with it. Do you want to suck on this one? You want to play with it?
Yeah, this isn't baby a strip Dean. Club, Michael. Okay? We're not teaching him this yet.
I know. It's a little early. A little young for this, Michael.
We're waiting till he can drive. Okay, Michael? So Ashley's packing, and she's like, are you jealous? I'm going to Portugal. Whatever will you do here by yourself? Yeah. And he's like, well, it would be nice to go with you, but luckily I have this little guy. And by this little guy, I mean David.
My penis.
David. Michael. this guy, little guy, Michael, who refuses to suck the thing on the toy.
Yeah. And so Eve is going to basically be taking care of Dean, but Michael's going to come home and put Dean to bed every night. And so Ashley's like, well, do you have any big events that I have to tell Eve about? And he's like, anything I've got, this guy's coming. What's his name? Robert? Little Paul Dundee over here. He's coming with me to every event.
A little baby Dean is like, yes, mother, it's going to be like you're here, but where daddy takes me, it's not just one restaurant, it's a food court.
Where? I'm excited to hear about this MGM place you guys have been talking about. Where?
So she's like, are you going to behave today? Are you going to behave while I'm gone? Okay. Now listen, I know that you need to behave. And one of the things you mentioned is that you just need to talk to somebody before you do something bad. So just feel free to call me whenever you want before you fuck somebody random. Okay. I'm open if you need to call me right before you fuck a stripper. Okay. Just my phone will be on, Michael.
Yeah. Hey, mommy, can I call you if I want to go pee pee with my pee pee? No. All right.
So he's like, well, you know, I wouldn't feel too bad about Monique not being able to come because the reason she can't come is because she did something she shouldn't have done, which is the same reason, oh, I can't go have steaks and strippers with the boys while you're gone this time. She's like, yeah, that's true. And she tells us that Monique asked her if she would be willing to write a statement about what happened between Candace and her the year before.
Yeah. Exactly. And Ashley, she wants to, she said yes, she would do it because the Samuels really had their back last year. And in fact, Ashley told Monique that they were in an open relationship and Monique told no one. So therefore, she earned herself a statement from Ashley, even though Ashley was in the bathroom and didn't see any of it happen. But that's fine.
No, it's not a statement about this time. It's a statement about what happened when Candace threw the butter knife and Chris was holding her back
and she was trying
to go after her and stuff.
Oh, yes.
Which, you know, okay, Candace can be mad,
really,
but that's not unfair to ask for a statement about that.
Yeah.
I want it to be like when you're in grade school and they're like, oh, we have some important news, kids, and then they roll in that TV. You know, that big old tube TV, and you have to watch it. Just show the show.
Oh, I was like, and then? I just wanted to be a slideshow with beeps. You know, you just hear the audio of the show and just see pictures, and then there'll be like a beep, and you have to go to the next slide.
Yeah, close up on butter knife. Looks more way more dramatic than it was.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So now all the women except for Monique are at the airport, and they're on the airplane. All that like usual footage. And Wendy gets stuck next to Karen on the plane, and she's like really not happy about it. And then 19 hours later, I don't know why it took 19 hours. They must have had some crazy layover, but they finally get to Madeira.
Madeira. So Karen hits her head getting into the van. Okay, so that's something that happened. And then they decide to have dinner at the hotel because they're all really tired. So they get to the hotel, and Ashley's like, bon dia, sky with champagne. Bon dia, is that Portuguese? Yeah. Bon dia. Under, it's like, no, stupid. It's Catalan.
Like, no. I like that they went to Madeira because it's, like, a little different than what we normally see. Plus, it's like an island that's been named by Giselle. Like, it's really called My Dear. She's like, we're going to Madeira.
So they make a toast. We're going to make magic in Madeira. And then they all go see their rooms, and they think they're really nice because no one goes to Ashley's room yet. They're all going to be pissed when they see Ashley's room.
Yeah, exactly. And then Karen FaceTimes Ray, who's like, looks like he's off to solve a case of something. He's got like a little fedora on and a rain jacket.
Yeah.
He's like, I just need him to have like a giant magnifying glass. And Karen also has had some fast therapy. She's like, well, you know, after Ray thanked me for having his back, you know, soldiering on, if you will, being a soldier for him. We're in a great place right now, and I look forward to moving on with Ray Ray. Everything's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Then why does he look like he's fleeing the country? He's wearing that like giant fedora and that detective jacket pulled all the way up to his neck.
Why does he look like he is like an associate of Carmen Sandiego? Why?
Yeah, he's running away with Carmen Sandiego. Karen will just get little hints to where he is.
Where in the world is Ray Hugo? I don't know, but I trust him because we're in a good place for him. And if he were to flee with Carmen Sandiego, I support him. I'm soldiering on for him.
I hope Carmen Sandiego is ready to pay some taxes. But we're about to find out what kind of a soldier Carmen Sandiego is. So Giselle shows... Giselle's getting ready for dinner and for some reason just starts putting belts all over her body. She's got a belt on her neck, and then she puts a belt on her head. She looks insane. It looks like a really fancy car just tried to keep you inside of it and wrapped a seatbelt all around everywhere it could.
Yeah, she was just like trying to be like avant-garde. And then she FaceTimes with Jamal and is like... It's like, there, this is Madeira, and that's the port, and that's a house there, and then you have to look at this view, and he's like, I think maybe you should just show me this during the day, when I can see anything.
And so she tells us, since the car chronicles, I have clarity, we just need to figure out the location we're going to live, And Jamal's like, well, hey, I gotta go. I've got a solar deal that looks like it's going through. So, gotta hang up. Solar deal. It's solar with unlimited sweet tea. So, gotta go.
So, hey, listen, Giselle, I'd love to talk. But, Arizona's.
Madlows, just fill in your own.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Arizona.
So dinner. Everyone starts showing up for dinner, and Wendy's like, Karen, is that milk? And she's like, it is, Wendy. To coat my tummy. I've had an ulcer, and it was very painful today, so now I've got some milk.
And Ashley like doesn't believe that it's milk. She thinks that Karen, when I guess she thinks this is Karen. Was Karen just not drinking at all? She was only having milk?
No, she had rosé and milk.
Because Ashley's like, I don't believe she has an ulcer. I think she just wants, because I think she just is trying to like, I guess, moderate her drinking. But I'm like, is that a thing people do, is drink milk to slow down their drinking?
I don't know, but it sounds like a stomach ache to me. Milk and wine. Milk and like rotted grapes. Just basically, not rotted, but you know what I mean.
I just doesn't sound I feel like
it's a good idea.
It just seems funny. I feel like you get to, I feel like you reach a certain age, and at that age you stop ordering glasses of milk at restaurants at dinner. So that's why it's so strange.
Well, and you also get to an age where you just start making shit up and believing it. Like, I've made it to this age so I can do whatever I want, you know, which I started doing at like age 6. But that whole like, well, I'm not going to get drunk because I'm having milk. Like, that's not really a rule, but but okay. It's like, yeah. I say I'm not going to get drunk and I'm not going to get drunk. Milk.
She read like a headline on Yahoo.com, like the homepage of Yahoo was like, "Can milk stop you from getting drunk?" Well, I heard it from a reputable doctor, surgeon general from Yahoo. He was very excited, and so I'm doing it.
And then we enter the Poonanny part of the episode, which pretty much continues to the end, because Wendy wants to do some shots, because today is Wendy. Oh. So she's just, we don't enter Poonanny yet. Hold on to Poonanny, everybody. First, we have a more important thing to get to. This week is about Wendy. And she's like, I'll tell you something you don't know. So Karen, I know we had that convo about my degrees. And everyone's like, oh God, God.
Not again.
Not your degrees again. So she says, when my parents came to this country with nothing, and my dad worked at a fast food restaurant, he was promoted to manager, and he was so proud of being promoted, and he wanted to show his thanks to this country, so he named his second daughter after that restaurant, Wendy.
Wendy. Well, that explains my friend Panera's name.
I know. I dated a Whataburger once. God, he was salty.
Yeah, there was this guy named Appleby. I'm like, what's the deal?
Appleby, he was very high class.
Yeah, that was a big one. especially compared to Brioche Doré.
Wow. What's that?
Brioche Doré is that like ultra generic chain of like, it's like, imagine au bon pain, and then someone said, let's do au bon pain, but like make it even more generic. Wow. And sad, and that's Brioche Doré.
Wow, that's much classier than my slutty friend In-N-Out. You always need to invite him for a good time. So Karen's like, well, I'm so glad you shared with us that insane story, Wendy, but I want you to know that I am an advocate for education. I advocate when education sues education. I'm there with a briefcase and a soldier book. All right? It's me there. Soldiering on for advocation of education.
Soldiering advocate. Sometimes I'll walk by a newsstand and I'll see the advocate sitting there and I'll say, oh, look, they made a magazine all about me and education, but then it's about gay men too, I guess.
And Giselle's like, oh, really? Then why did you belittle her education? And she's like, I didn't, you guys. And she's like, yes, you did. And Wendy's like, I didn't do this for me. I did not get my degrees for me. I did it for every little girl who looks like me. And that matters, Karen. Like, yes, it does matter, but enough already. Like, serious.
I know. I know. Like, I literally, like, will never walk into a pharmacy with Wendy for fear of what happens when she walks by, like, the degree deodorant. Oh, the degrees. Why? Why are you belittling me? I'm named after Wendy's. The Wendy's. And you think you're better than me, deodorant. Well, let me tell you something. You may be a bunch of degrees sitting there, but I actually earned my degrees, okay?
Yeah, you never want to go to Wendy's house because it's always freezing in there. She just keeps setting it to 4 degrees. Just so no one will ever forget.
Do we think that Carl from Summer House may have been possibly named after Carl's Jr.? Because that is feasible.
Yeah, that's possible. You look great, by the way. So Karen's like, well, so then we're coming from the same perspective, Wendy. Look at us agreeing. Which is Karen's way of just trying to confuse you out of a fight.
Yeah. And she's like, well, we don't have to talk about this again. And Wendy's like, well, we don't, because I've put a button on it, and it's been fastened for 12 hours.
There's a horror squeak for some reason. And then when we come back, Karen is sipping from a straw. She's sipping her milk from a straw, all upset, and just, like, refusing to fight. So now we enter the Poonanny section of the episode. So Wendy wants a round of shots, and Candace's friend, who I'm guessing is Cliff, said there's a rum and passion shot. Also spend $19,000 on luggage. Did you see how much luggage she had?
So much luggage.
It was bigger than the van.
It was. It was the van. She actually bought the van.
They just all got rolled to the hotel.
I put a handle on it. Yeah.
So they say what it's called, and Giselle goes, Punani? That sounds Puncha. Like Punani, huh? Punani.
Yeah. And Wendy's like, I can't wait to drink some poon poon. And Karen's face, she does the angry sock puppet thing. You know when people have like to take a sock puppet and then they want that puppet to look like upset. So they close their fingers really tight and then squish them. That's what her face turns into, angry sock puppet.
And she's like, I thought poon poon was a vajayjay. Yeah. And Wendy's like, it is. Well, cheers to licking some poon poon then. And Karen's like, she's all upset at the mention. And so Giselle's like, speaking of Poonanny, Ashley, how's Michael? He handles your poon poon.
Yeah. And she's like, well, things are better. I'm 100% back in my marriage. And they're like, it's only been a month. Like, weren't you 60-40 and now you're at 100? She's like, yes, I was. But I wasn't being a good wife. So now I'm 100% back in. Whatever. And so they're like, what's going on?
Yeah, because Wendy's like, well, this happened with Michael last time we were away together, so now we're away together again. Are you afraid something's going to happen with Michael? And she's like, no, because I understand his circumstances now. You know, I mean, I wasn't really being the wife I could have been, which, grown, you know, God.
Yeah.
And Giselle's oh, you weren't giving away the poon poon? She's like, no. And Robin tells her, like a good friend, you know, she's like, yeah, you shouldn't be taking responsibility for his actions. This is something new you're going through as a mother, and he needs to support you, which, thank you. Thank you, somebody, for saying that, because what the hell? Who cares what you're doing? He fucked a stripper.
Exactly. And Robin basically says that that's when Juan cheated on her, was when she was a new mother, and that she just didn't have the energy to care about what her husband was doing, which is what it sort of sounds like Ashley is doing. And of course, I then thought about Jax and Brittany, and I'm just so excited for the path ahead for them. You know, that's going to be so great when they have their child, and Jax will not be jealous of that attention at all. It'll be great. It'll really work out so well.
And Ashley's like, well, no one's perfect. And I can't. No one's perfect. No one's perfect. And Giselle says, I am. And yeah. Wendy says, well, my little name is Oia, which is gift from God. So some of us are perfect because I come from God.
And Candace is like, well, I come from Jesus. And then they start, you know, being like, well, I'm from God, I'm from Jesus. Well, maybe we're both blessed in heaven. Blah, blah, blah.
So they do cheers with their shots, and Karen cheers us with her milk. I don't know why it makes me laugh.
Milk, milk, lemonade around the corner. Oh, God, no one told me this is what that was going towards.
So then it turns to Giselle turns on Karen because Ashley was dry. Ashley Well was dry. So she's like, Karen, did you talk to Detective Ray, yeah? And she's like, yeah, so I called him, and he was driving, and I didn't want to keep him on the phone. Did you call Jamal?
Yeah, and then Karen's basically very concerned that she hasn't seen Jamal around, and Giselle says, well, he's very booked and busy. And Wendy's like, well, all of our husbands are booked and busy. And Giselle's like, yes, but there's the house situation. He lives 8 states away. I mean, even though, yes, he spends all of his time in Arizona, he's not actually in Arizona, but he's still not here.
And Karen's mad because Giselle has all these requirements for everybody else, how they have to share, and, you know, how their men should be treating them, but she has no rules about how she should be treated. And then she grabs her finger and pretends to break it, and she's like, can you say broken? I'm gonna do it again. Can you say broken?
Yeah, that was what we call pantomiming, but with talking. Broken. So, is he not proud? Is he not proud? Because a proud man is with his woman. A very proud man, especially if he's dressed like Carmen Sandiego. A proud robber.
And Giselle's like, you're saying you need that? Because I don't need that, Karen. And Karen's like, has anyone seen Jamal? Is Jamal a real person? Anyone? Raise your hand. Is Jamal basically Bruce Willis hanging out with a child in a movie? Anyone? Anyone at all?
Spoiler! Giselle's like, well, you don't need to see him, Ma. You don't have sex with him, Ma. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's one person I will not be soldiering on for. I'm not an advocate for that.
And Giselle's like, yeah, he doesn't need to meet you in order for me to feel like he's the real man in my life. And she's like, no, I'm just saying, you deserve more, Giselle. You deserve more. And so now they're just fighting. And Robin jumps in and she's like, but, you know, Giselle, if you're in a relationship and you're happy, then why wouldn't you share that with your friend? When we share our men with each other, you know, we all talk about our men with each other. And then Giselle just looks at her like, I wore this belt onto my head so I can whip you with it. Like, watch your mouth, woman.
Yeah. So she's like, well, I don't have a problem with the pastor being around these women. I don't have a problem with Juan buying rings. All I'm asking for is that when people come for me, Robin has my back. I'm like, this is not a Robin has your back situation. This is like, you're hiding Jamal, and it's already like a kind of shady foundation that you guys have, and everyone's like, what the fuck? Something weird is going on.
But it's also the best thing, the best promise of something to happen to this show is Giselle turning on Robin. It's like the little seed of that is dropped. I don't know that that would ever happen, but God, that would make this so much more fun. Because yeah, it's about
time. That'd be crazy if they had a falling out.
Yeah, it's about damn
time. Made it. They've made it many years. I mean, usually you only the falling out happens after 2 or 3 years. So
yeah, there were rumblings about a falling out a while ago, but you know, it's Housewives, so it could have been this that they were talking about. And then they were like, "Okay, I'm sorry," and then it's all over.
Yeah. So now they're going to bed and everything, and Candace is putting new pillowcases on the pillowcases that are already there in the luxury hotel, and then there's like an edible lipstick, so Karen's eating that. And so then Ashley calls up Michael because it's 7 p.m. over in Potomac. And so she's calling because it's about time for Dean to get put into bed. So she tries to FaceTime and he doesn't answer. And then she tries to call him and he doesn't answer. So she leaves like she's like losing her mind, of course, after saying like everything's fine. She's 100% in this marriage. Everything's fine. She is now fully triggered. And it's, by the way, it's like 7:09 or 7:11 or something. And she's like, don't put him to sleep before you talk to me. Please don't. Yeah. So she's now like losing her mind.
So she calls the nanny Eve and asks if Michael's home yet. She's like, no, not yet. And Dean is really tired. So she's like, I'm going to find Michael. So she calls him and he answers this time. He's like, hello, what's up? Just got out of the ATM. I just got 400 ones. There's nothing to worry about.
I was just taking a meeting at the MGM, which we all know stands for Michael Goes for Meetings. That's what MGM stands for.
I don't want you to be worried. I had to stop at the baby store and get a little tiny umbrella because me and baby Dean are about to make it rain.
She's like, babe. She's like, you know, I'm away and I'm usually the caretaker for Dean. Like, why would you do this to me? He's like, babe. It's my favorite movie. I just want to remind you. Babe.
That'll do, pig. And he's like, I said I'd be there at 7. She's like, it's 7:11. He's fuzzy, Michael. He's like, I can't do this. I can't be molested like this. It's like, interesting choice of words.
Yeah, I'm like, all right.
Of all the people to use that terminology, it shouldn't be you, Michael. Okay.
I can't have my emotional ass be rubbed in this way.
So he hangs up on her. She's like, ah! And you know, she's rightly upset. And she just wants to go home. And so she stares at little pictures of baby Dean on her phone. So
I have a question for the moms in our audience. This is a genuine question. Because I'm trying to understand because I'm a guy and I don't have babies. So a lot of times I'm like, huh, well, babies, I mean, you could just put them on the ceiling fan. They'll be fine all day. But I have a genuine question, which is, do people feel like if baby D needed to go to sleep at 7 and he was getting fussy or whatever, is it like, would it have been a big deal if Eve just put baby Dean to sleep? Or was it like, is it like,
yeah,
a big deal?
You gotta see your baby.
I just want to know.
Say bye. Love you. Mommy loves you.
But, like, if I just want to know, like, because my instinct as someone who doesn't have a kid was to be like, just tell Eve to put the baby down, you know? But I don't know if that's actually, like, massively insensitive or, like, I just want to know. I'm curious to know I want to get inside the head of moms.
Well,
right,
I think
now,
she's so. More upset. It's not that the baby's not asleep. It's that Michael isn't where he said he was going to be right after he promised.
That's clear. Well, clearly.
Yeah, like
clearly,
right after he promised. I don't think it's like, the baby's awake 11 minutes later.
Because, because she's like, he really wants to go to sleep. He really wants. I'm like, it's a baby. Just put him to sleep. He'll, I don't think the baby's like, oh, I really want to go to sleep, but I can only go to sleep after daddy gives me the magic dust and I go into lullaby land. Why, wham?
Yeah, maybe there's like an extra charge if you put the baby to sleep. You know, that's an extra $20. I put the baby to sleep. It's like, darn it, Michael.
I mean, obviously she was clearly projecting a lot of like, this Michael anxiety onto this situation, and probably in a normal situation, she just would have told Eve, okay, just put the baby to sleep. But I was curious. I just didn't want to. I didn't want to talk out of my ass. So I just wanted to reach out and ask what people thought.
Oh my god! When we go out of town, I even like need to get a video of Bueller every day, or I get upset. You know, so I can imagine if it was a real animal. I'd be like, but how did Bueller have his dinner?
A real animal.
I mean,
I can imagine if it was if it was a human puppy. Yeah.
So Robin and Giselle. Robin goes over to Giselle's room and she's like, came to talk to my friend. And Giselle's like, well, tonight was extra special.
Yes, extra special. Because of everything that happened. And Giselle is, she's mad at Karen about what she was saying about Jamal. And she was also mad that Robin basically, co-signed what Karen said. And Robin's like, well, I mean, if this is someone that's like very, very special to you, why don't you want to share it with your friends?
And she's like, well, I can respect that coming from you, but I didn't want to hear that then. Nah. It's like, well, can he not be a mystery man to us? And Giselle has, you know, this is why you can never really hate Giselle, even though she's the biggest asshole on this show. Well, no, not the biggest since Candace came. But because she orders like a full-on dessert to her room when she's mad about something. And that I can always get behind. It's like a dessert tray she orders to her room.
Yeah, and she just didn't even bother trying to create a storyline out of this. She's like, my best friend doesn't even have my back. I can't even... Oh, desserts. Never mind.
Yeah, but she does warn her. She's like, next time something happens, I'm going to need you to tell everyone to shut up. You can have a tiramisu now.
Okay.
So it's the morning, and Wendy's that neighbor we all love having in a hotel. She walks out into the hotel balcony and yells, good morning, Portugal! Whoa. You would have a little tiny hotel square shape soap coming at your head if you did that next to me.
I don't think Portugal needs the morning greetings. I mean, people have been living there already. It's not like Portugal sitting there being like, oh gosh, oh, I wish someone would acknowledge me in the morning sometimes. Oh, a tourist did. Thank God. I don't think Portugal's fine. It doesn't have to say, Portugal does not need Wendy yelling, good morning, Portugal.
So everybody's doing their morning thing, getting up, whatever. And Candace is writing post-its and putting them all over her hotel room mirror. You can do it. It's everyone else's fault. You deserve luggage.
Exactly. I may have baggage, but I also have luggage. That's her tagline for next season.
She's like, now is the time to be reminded of how strong I am. One of the promises I made to myself is I would not be engaging in any conversation about the countersuit. And then it's like, forgive for you.
Ashley probably doesn't want to talk about the countersuit because she probably thought for a moment that Monique had actually bought her a suit and left it on a counter. And she was really excited. Oh, my God, I got a new suit. Oh, it's a countersuit. I get it.
So Karen goes over to Ashley's room. And Ashley's like, welcome to my humble abode. But it's like this penthouse suite. And Karen's like, oh, you have a dining room in your room. That's not humble. She just walks through trying not to hate Ashley.
Yeah, full sock puppet face. Yeah. Sock puppet with spinach in its teeth.
I just love everyone's communication on this trip. Giselle was a little bit taken aback by last night. And Ashley's like, well, the way that you said that, it's like, she should be cautious because Jamal's not around. She's like, well, she has opinions about all relationships. And I think those days are over now.
And Ashley basically says that Karen's been holding onto a check and she's wanted to cash it for many years, and now she finally has a chance to. And then we get a nice extended montage of Giselle just undermining and bashing Karen from season to season, and it's hilarious and wonderful.
Yeah, the taxes, and she's like, is there even perfume in those bottles? And yeah, so Karen's like, well, it's about respect. If you're not going to share, get out. Now she's like, well, I hear that. I mean, last night Michael was supposed to be home and he had to work. And so I lashed out and then he finally called me back. And then we see a clip of Michael calling and he's like, well, I know that you miss your baby and there was nothing for you to be upset about. And I'm so sorry I upset you. Dean, would you like to say something? I hear Karen had the same dinner I had last night. Wah, wah. Wah, wah.
The only difference is only one of us had the delicious milk that came from a booby. Wah, wah.
So Ashley's like, I know I overreacted. And Karen's like, yes, that's all it was. Because last time you left, Michael wasn't where he was supposed to be.
Yeah, and Karen's like, well, if Michael, like, Michael being late should not have, you know, sent her into a tailspin. So clearly something is up. And Ashley's like, well, I really feel like Michael heard me and understood me, and I'm just, like, really happy and thankful, you know, for my husband right now. And Karen just nods, like, okay, all right, you're deluded. Okay, let's talk about Giselle again.
So the old gathering in the hotel lobby scene. And Candace is like, Wendy, what are you drinking? And Wendy's like, the poon poon. Mm-hmm. Wendy just loves that shot.
She loves that poon. She loves that. She's really trying to make that happen. She's doing that poon poon shot. Yeah. So the plan is to go to the cable cars, then go to a market. So they start driving. And Ashley's talking about how she didn't sleep well with that baby Dean. And she tells the woman what happened with Michael and stuff and how she was crying. And Wendy's like, well, why didn't you call me? We could have cried together. I was crying in there. I mean, I was, of course, crying over the fact that I never quite got that fifth degree. I only have 4 degrees, but, you know, it's still crying.
I hope when you called Michael, you gave him the third degree, even though he didn't spend 6 years earning it. So they go on these cable cars and they split up into two groups. And Karen gets in hers and she's like, where's the seatbelt? Trying to be brave. I had some
Jermaine Dupri. I had some Jermaine Dupri. Now, does this have GPS?
And they're all talking about Portugal. And they're like, Portugal's beautiful. Portugal's beautiful. And it gets to Karen and she's like, I am loving the city of Portugal.
It feels so wonderful being here in the middle of Asia, you know?
Yeah, and it says ding, and at the bottom of the screen it's like, Portugal is a country. Okay, poom poom. Yeah.
So, in the cable cars, one cable car, they're talking about Ashley and et cetera. And Robin, again, is talking about how husbands tend to act out when they're newborns. And then, you know, and then Ashley in the other cable car is saying how she and Karen are in a really good place these days. They're just like making chit chat in the car, in the cable cars.
Yeah. And Wendy tells us, I have had enough of Karen and her condescending behavior. Don't worry about what kind of doctor I am. Worry about what kind of doctor you're not, which is not condescending at all.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, so she's
bringing up the degrees.
She tells the lady she's still mad over the degrees, and they're like, oh my God. So they go to lunch, and Ashley leaves for the restroom, which means that something bad's about to happen.
Like, yeah.
Every time Ashley goes pee now, I'm like, oh no, don't leave.
Yeah, but luckily nothing really happens. No. Just some puncha arrives, and then she comes back with all her milking devices on. And she's just sitting there. And
that was funny. She comes with like two things strapped to her boobs. And Robin's like, Ashley, oh. And she's like, we're in Europe. It's legal.
I mean, she looks like she's ready to supply all of Liechtenstein. So Giselle is like, she starts instigating Karen and Wendy along. And she's like, so Wendy has degrees and Karen doesn't like the degrees, right? You guys take it from here.
Yeah, she's like, what's the state of your relationship? Is everything done from last night? And Karen's like, yes, it's done. She put a button on it. A button. And Wendy's like, well, I put a button on it, but I want to unbutton it real quick. And Karen just goes, oh,
it's just sort of like my graduation robes. How I got out of them 4 different times by unbuttoning them.
Yeah. And
when you talk about my degrees, and everyone's like, "Ah,"
Robin goes, "Why does this keep happening? And when is it gonna stop?" And Wendy's like, "Well, when I was getting my doctorate and I wanted to quit, I persevered, and it took 6 years. And in my dissertation, I thanked my father who passed away. I thanked my baby that I was pregnant with." She goes on this.
"I thanked Dave Thomas, the former owner of Wendy's, before he passed away."
Yeah, she goes on this full-on monologue, and she's like, "So no, my degrees are not who I am, but God damn it, I earned that shit." It's like, well done.
Yeah, it was definitely like a nice melodramatic rant. And Karen's like, well, you have the right to be emotional. I mean, you were named after a fast food chain, so that is a very emotional thing. So let me apologize if you thought I was diminishing your degree, or degrees in this case, or just knocking it. That was not my intention. My intention was merely to make you feel bad in general, not because of your degrees.
Have I dropped 89 cents somewhere? Because I feel like I've just gotten a supersized version of that monologue from last night. Anyone?
Now that I've apologized, hopefully we're square, just sort of like the burgers you were named after. Good.
So, Candace changes the subject. Dun, dun, dun. And she's like, "Well, since we're talking about friendship, Giselle, last night we talked about Jamal, and Karen brought up whether you were keeping him away from us. God, I love soup." Just keep saying how much she loves soup. And Karen's like, "Well, I think that my intentions were missed about that one. What I was saying was, we're here to support you. We've got you, Giselle. See, everybody, you've misunderstood."
Giselle says, "You didn't even say that at all last night." I love Karen. Karen has to, like, how many times does Karen have to say, "Okay, spinach in my teeth. I want to be very clear. I want to be very clear." It's like, Karen, why don't you just start by being very clear?
So they start squabbling, and Karen's like, "Well, you've got an opinion on what's going on with Ashley, with me and Ray." And Giselle's like, "You have been guarded forever. What are you talking? You are. I don't take it back. You are guarded." And she's like, "Well, rightly so. Why would you tell Satan all of your business? And Giselle, you are Satan." And they're like, "Oh."
And this is why this show is on the same tier as Real Housewives of New York, because if it were Beverly Hills, it would be Kyle Richards running out of Madeira, finding a flight to the mainland, and crying like, "She said I was the devil. I mean, that's just like not nice. I've been really supportive of her." But Giselle's like, "Okay."
You want to call Giselle a devil because I ask about things that are in the Washington Post?
Yeah. She's just like, "Whatever, you can call me Satan." It's just like, "Well, either you open up to this friendship circle or you keep your mouth quiet and stop being so nosy."
So Giselle FaceTimes Jamal. And it's like, "Well, I just want you to be able to say hello to my friends. There's Robin. There's Karen." And so she... Jamal's like, "Okay, I'm getting solar in a church, okay? It's a pretty big deal, so could you stop calling me, right?"
Yeah, and Karen's like, "Well, this isn't going to satisfy me. It's not like a Snickers bar, so I think you are failing us as a friend, and if you think you can walk around and demand every morsel of our lives so you can judge and make jokes about it, but we can't have an opinion about yours, well, you want to be superficial friends, we can do that dance, Giselle. I'm not giving you shit because you don't give shit except shit, so shit, 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 shit."
Sandy Duncanwig. So Karen's like, "Hold on, I've always known that that Jamal lives in your phone, Giselle." And Giselle's like, "He does not live in my phone. He lives in my life." She's like, "He lives in the phone. Hey, yeah. Anybody seen Jamal in real life? Anybody? Little phone man."
I love Karen threatening, saying, "So you want to be superficial friends? Fine." I'm like, "Karen, you make that announcement every single season." "Well, you know, here's why I say with Giselle. We're just going to be superficial friends. There, I said it." I'm like, it's like it doesn't have the same power when you announce it for like the fifth season in a row. Fine, you want to be superficial friends, then that's what we're going to be.
But at least she does it in crazier, 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 and crazier wigs and dresses. That really ups the ante every year.
Yeah. And then for some reason they slap a "to be continued" on this as if there was a cliffhanger, but there was none. Like, the only cliffhanger is like, where did they get their entrees?
Yeah. And that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Potomac, everybody.
What a delightful time.
What a delight.
So, be like Baby Dean and use your little paws to come over to your laptop and buy yourself a ticket to our live show on Thursday, because we're going to have a super fun time. Go to, the link is at watchwhatcrappens.com. It's also on our Instagram, and it's onlocationlive.com/watchwhatcrappens. It's going to be a great time. So go check that out. And tomorrow we're back with some more Below Deck, which means more Australian accents. Who doesn't love that?
All right, everybody. Thanks for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors,
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthew sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.